Chogger. Ooh, mama. That was a painful loss. It was very similar to 2017 Ducks 2006 game one against the Hurricanes. And maybe this one was even worse because, man, the Oilers were in complete control. And then just one penalty and the wheels just completely fell off.
Yeah, that was just epic. I don't even know what to say about it. Like, you know, and I think it's important for me to put the Archibald penalty in the context because, you know, was it his fault they lost the game? No. There was lots that happened after that. But at the same time, what taking that penalty did, it was like a ripple effect. So he takes a selfish play, or a selfish penalty on a dirty play. He's not a dirty player. He doesn't often do that. So out of character, I would say, and really kind of lowbrow, which for him is very rare. So he does that. He puts them on the power play. He pisses them off, gives them something to rally around. And then because they score on that power play, it also plants the seed of doubt in the Oilers' mind. So one play has a ripple effect of changing the score, dramatically galvanizing the other team, and planting that seed of doubt in the Oilers' heads. And it was just so untimely. So it was big. Now, what happened after that was just, it was just a disaster. I mean, you know, little mistakes, turnovers, and, you know, just really, it just seemed like they just, you know, they kind of, their knees sort of buckled, and they could not right the ship. And it was just an absolute train wreck. And for the guys, the six guys that were part of that deal in 2017, I can imagine how they felt after that second Winnipeg goal where it just became very real that this is happening. This is happening unless you do something about it. And nobody could.
Chogger, the word that popped in my head as I watched it was poise. So how do you develop poise in those moments?
I don't know. I mean, so playoffs are supposed to be where you learn these lessons, right? Well, they learned this one already, or they were supposed to have. So they've done this twice now, the core group. So I don't know. I guess I'd say you have to just go through it and learn it. Honestly, Struds, I think one of the things that's dramatically lacking from this lineup is, you know, Paul Stastny, right? A 1,000-game guy who's been through a bunch of battles before, who is a steadying hand, who can support, be a meaningful player in your lineup and support the young stars that you have. They don't have those guys, you know, and they're lacking in that. You know, look at the Jets' fourth line. I mean, they're rolling out 200-plus playoff games on their fourth line, more playoff games than the entire Oilers, you know, group, you know, for the most part has. So I think it's just about surrounding your star players with guys who have been there and have done that before, and then just continuing to rely on them. But they're going to have to go through this. It just really sucks for them that they've had to go through this one twice.
Wow. Yeah, hey, maybe you learn from it. There's lots of teams that had devastating losses many years in a row, and you never win. That's the thing. Like, yeah, you can learn from it, and it helps, but it doesn't guarantee a success. It never does, right? So
no.
That's what, you know, the San Jose Sharks were a really good team for many, many years and, you know, had some tough losses, obviously, to the Kings. And guess what? They bounced back. They made it to the Cup Final 2 years later, but then they didn't win. And that was a team that won more regular season games than anyone for over a 15-year span. And even though they never won a Cup, they still won the second most playoff games over a 15-year span.
And the point I'll make, like, I've heard lots of people questioning Tippett about the timeout, and I think it's totally fair. The one thing I'll say is that, it's hard. I hesitate to question a coach about a timeout or not because we're not on the bench. We don't know what's being said. Nobody will have a better feel for what's going on in front of them than the coach, right? We can assume things watching on TV. So I don't often criticize for timeouts because they have a better sense of it. But what I'll say is I wonder if Tippett was considering that Connor McDavid he's human. And 2017 had to be creeping into his mind. And the pressure had to be on after that goal. Now they're just one down. And, you know, yes, he's a great player, and yes, they're both great players, but they're also human. And Tippett maybe needed to recognize that, oh boy, this is a nerve for these guys. And this nerve has just been hammered on hard, and they need to catch a breather. Because, you know, McDavid's a great player, but he's absolutely susceptible to feeling the stress of that moment and old demons coming back.
Yeah, as we're joined by Ryan Reshock, I'll respectfully disagree because in that moment, your team needs you, right? So he puts you out there to calm the waters. The puck goes in the corner, and Connor gets it and just rims it around the net. Now, he is an amazing player. But, you know, that is what you do. You're Chris Pronger. You're Scott Niedermayer. Mm-hmm. The guy that scored the goal. Well, Hedman. Yeah, sure. Hedman. Even Ehlers. In that moment, you are the guy. Like, I've been on the bench. When I'm sitting there, no one's looking at me like, hey, Stroud, you got to settle this down. You're looking at your best player to settle it down. So, like, that's the moments I think those guys live for, Shager. You know, and again, I'm not putting this on his feet.
Yeah, no, and you're making a completely fair point, but you can still rely on McDavid. You can still tap him and say, you're the one I want out there right now, but can't you recognize this team is reeling right now? And for the core six sitting on the bench, this has got to be stirring up some something. And so a pause, you know, a moment where you go regroup, let them say what they need to say, you say what you need to say, settle everybody down, give them a second so that, oh, my God, it's happening again. Like, I don't think it's a negative if McDavid needed that moment. I wouldn't look down on him if he's human, right?
Need a moment for the timeout.
Like, had they taken a timeout? I'm talking about should Tippett have taken a timeout after that second goal from Winnipeg?
The third goal, you mean?
What's that?
The third goal, the second in the comeback, but the third goal.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, just give your group a minute to regroup and give McDavid a chance to, you know, let them process.
Yeah.
You know, because these guys have been through this, and this had to be like a, oh, my God, moment. And it's okay if he would have needed 40 seconds to get 100%. His head square and then go.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think we're basically saying the same. I misunderstood what you're saying, but I'm with you. But I think that, you know, it's hard because, you know, in that moment, it's your best players, right? I love that Tippett put him out there. Like, is there a coach out there that wouldn't have put his best line out there?
And you expect the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's supposed to calm the waters. And it didn't work out that way. And again, I don't want people coming at me saying I'm blaming him. I'm not. But, you know, that's just what you expected when you're the best player. And you want that moment where you want, like, I wasn't a great player, but in junior, I was pretty good. And I wanted to go out there at the last minute to protect a lead or to kill a penalty. I couldn't wait to go out there. And if I didn't do the job, I couldn't wait to get back out there the next game to show that I could do it, right? And again, I'm not comparing myself, but I'm just saying in that time, I did have an impact on the game. So, like, for these guys, I think that's where it's so hard. And you know, it's hard to read what they're thinking post-game, but you could see they're pretty frustrated, you know. And Connor Neon, because not blaming them, but it's like you could go through everyone who's on the ice for goals, including Archibald, even towards the end, like the overtime goal. Like, could no one tell what they were trying to do there? It was like there's no communication between Jujar, Archibald, and the D-men saying, okay, look, they've put Ehlers there. And Ehlers even talked about it after the game. He's like, we talked about it just before the drop. We're going to do it. Like, does no one see?
Yeah.
So, you know, like,
I mean, it's okay, though, Struds, to, like, let's put the blame where it lies in different situations, right? We know that we just piled on Archibald, right? McDavid, in a high-impact, super important moment, made an awful play, and it led to a goal that was hugely costly. That's just fact. It's okay to say.
That's fair.
He played brilliant so many other shifts, and he's done so much for this team for so long. This is the thing. Playoffs are about moments. They're about individual moments that come. And so you're going to have these moments in front of you, and some are going to go one way, some might go another. The hope is more go the right way for you. And most of the moments McDavid's in, he does the right thing and makes brilliant plays. This one, bad timing to make a bad play. But there's like four or five other ones that we can pass on to other players as well. So it's not unfair to say that. The other thing about the playoff being about moments, for me, is that you have to have the right people to put on the ice when those moments arise. You have to have them. You're going nowhere. And Jujar Kara, a left-handed borderline fourth line center in this league, is not the right player to have to put on the ice in overtime for that defensive face-off. That should have been the right shot third line center that this organization has needed for 2 years. They do not have the right people to put on the ice in these moments. They're not good enough.
Yeah, and I can't disagree. They're joined by Ryan Rashok talking all things Edmonton Oilers. I'm with you. Maybe an overmatched situation, that's for sure. And I think we're starting to see and highlight some areas they need to address. But like my thing is when I look at that overtime goal, Archibald is shoved to the middle by Dubois. No clue that's happening. Devin Shore should recognize that and say, okay, I'm going to pop out and get in the shooting lane. He doesn't move, right? Like, it's just like, and now maybe those are the wrong guys. Maybe they shouldn't be playing a playoff game. But
Strugg, listen to the names you just said.
That's what I'm saying. And I agree with you. But like, so maybe don't put him in a defensive zone draw in that situation. But
he doesn't have anybody. I mean, McDavid and Draisaitl were just off the ice. They weren't an option to him.
Fair point.
Like,
fair
there's
point.
there's not enough good players to be on the ice often enough. They're just not there.
Yeah, that's
depth-wise.
Fair
it's just not. I mean, look what he had to do to his lineup. No coach on a team that's going anywhere should be able to take a player who was on his first line one game, healthy scratch in the next, change three of his four lines, two of his three D pairings, and have a rookie playing second line center suddenly. Yeah. Something is wrong with your group when that's what happens in the middle of a playoff series.
You're not wrong, Andrew.
Well, it would help. You mentioned Jujhar Khaira. Well, it would help that if a guy in 10 years in his career would have improved enough that you could put him out for a faceoff in the defensive zone. 10 years in the NHL, and you can't trust him in that spot. And that's why when people say, oh, he's a second-line center, I'm sorry, he isn't. And, you know, Nugent Hopkins, I haven't even noticed him barely in this series. And, like, that's just unacceptable. You can't have that. This is very similar to 2017. It's only three games, but it hasn't showed up.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, you know what, I'm with you, Gregor, in the big picture, but I don't look at him as having been an issue last night at all. I think, you know, he ended up with six shots on net. He won most of his draws. He was 4-1 in the faceoff circle.
Then why didn't you put him out then?
Well, and right? That's
like,
right. And I can't remember
put two centermans out there.
Yeah, you would have been able to. You could have used him in that moment if you were Tippett. Ryan had played the type of game where he would have been usable in that moment, and I can't remember who had just come off the ice. So, listen, Nugent Hopkins, to me, I thought he created some chances. I thought he's one of the guys that kept playing, and I think he was dangerous after all that tough stuff happened. I hear what you're saying in the big picture, though. So, McDavid, Draisaitl, Puljujarvi, Yamamoto needs to be given the space to just be a third-line player right now.
Like, yeah, that's fine.
He had a great run last year, and for his age and his experience level, it should be perfectly fine that he's a third-line right winger. There's nothing wrong with that. But on this team, he's got to play as a one or a two all year. Right? Like, the team is not structured so that these players are playing where they're supposed to be playing. And it catches up to you.
But I think you just nailed it, is that there's players on this team, but they just have to be knocked down a bit. And then to get them suited or slotted in the right place. So we're talking about, what are we talking about here? There's a left wing and maybe a right wing in the top six.
Oh, you know, 100%.
And then everyone gets pushed down a slot. And all of a sudden now you're playing against guys you can compete with. You know, and I think that's the challenge. You know, you see some people that are just blow the whole thing up, blow it up. Like you can see the end, I think, or what looks like a good team to me.
Well, this offseason is going to be critical, right? So the Oilers did not want to spend the picks and the assets needed to put a third line center in place for the deadline this year. Right? They decided that wasn't.
There wasn't many options though, too, to be honest, because we looked at it. Like, is Eric Staal really that good of an option?
Yeah, but I mean, they knew they needed one since about 2 weeks after Kyle Turris showed up at camp, right? So they knew they needed one all year long, and they chose not to, and that's fine. It's like they made the choice at the deadline this year to kind of tinker just a touch, but really not to go for it, right? In any meaningful way, which strategically in the big picture, 5,000-foot view of where they're at, it can make sense. But the cost of that is when they needed those pieces, they weren't there. When they needed a better second pairing, they didn't have it because they only went halfway at the deadline, right? So the cost of the lack of action at the deadline for meaningful movement is, in the big moments when they came, you didn't have good enough players to put on the ice. It's just the way it went. And so this offseason, they need to get more better players to have on the ice in next year's big moments. And they have the cap space to at least try and do that.
Oh, definitely they need to do it. Shogar, we'll see what happens. The Oilers extending their life tonight?
You know what? I don't know, man. I mean, if Winnipeg gets the first one, I wouldn't be surprised if it was 6-0. But at the same time, we saw the way they bounced back before, you know, the last time this happened, although they had a lot more of a chance to win that series. So I'm not going to be a negative Nelly. I'll say, sure, they bounce back and they play another good solid game and grab a win. But that's as far as I'll take it.
Awesome. Shogger, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a
good chat, guys. Thanks.